This is the Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri. Today we hear from Dr. Karen Woolwind, Assistant Professor in Literacy, Culture, and Language Education at Indiana University in Bloomington. She is also the recipient of the prestigious International Reading Association Outstanding Dissertation Award for the work that she discusses today. She does research involving kindergarten girls' play with Disney princess dolls and examines how this play is related to children's identity and understanding of early literacy, in particular, plot development and characterization. Welcome, Dr. Woolwind.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
First, tell us about yourself and how you got interested in the importance of play and preschool literacy.
Well, I was a kindergarten teacher for many years, and of course I saw children doing wonderful things, problem solving, working things out through their play. And as my career developed, I saw that play was beginning to really vanish in kindergarten classrooms. And even though we would argue that children need play, it's great for building social skills, they need it for exercise, those arguments just didn't seem to stand up. And I also saw that in children's play that a lot more was going on that we weren't taking account of. And so as I got into graduate school, I went in with the idea that I wanted to really discover what kinds of play are children using in school, and what does it do for children, what does it do for their literacy. Just seemed like it was an important way of them, for them to make sense of the world, and I wanted to explore that.
Yeah, and part of your article in Reading Research Quarterly, you talk about an expanded definition of text. You include drawings, crafts, and art projects. Can you explain that? Are these literacy?
Right. This is a big discussion in literacy circles at the moment, and it's the idea that we have many new kinds of texts that are emerging at the moment. If you think about people uploading video to YouTube or typing, with their thumb on their cell phone to text message someone, we have lots of different ways that children and adults are communicating that don't involve these traditional interactions with a printed page. So I'm also looking at how children play and how they draw as ways of making meaning and actually showing what they know.
So when you're saying that you saw that play was disappearing, what was replacing that?
Well, it's probably no surprise to people that recent accountability measures in school have put a lot of pressure on teachers to raise test scores, and that gets interpreted many times as we need to put more paper, pencil, drill kinds of activities in place or direct instruction so that we are sure that we're meeting those benchmarks. And something has to go. And usually it seems, play's frivolous, it's nice to have, but we don't seem to really need it. And so that was really being replaced. And I think in many places you can hear teachers talking about how the curriculum is being pushed down and what used to be kindergarten now looks like the new first grade.
Yeah, yeah. Now, why Disney princess dolls?
Well, I didn't go into this classroom intending that I would do a study that involved, a particular kind of toy. But what I saw was that children were really using the toys that they brought from home and using the toys and the videos that they loved to inform the writing that they were doing at school. And it really gave them a passion about being fans of whatever particular toy it was. In the article that we're discussing today, I looked particularly at one group that was very involved with Disney princess themes, and then they would bring these Disney princess dolls to school. And that that was particular to that group. There were several other groups that were involved with different kinds of toys.
I see. Interesting. So when we're talking about literacy, you're saying then that they would reenact these stories that they knew well, for example, Cinderella or other stories. And what did you find then when they would come to school and reenact these?
Yeah, well, I think that what I found was teachers often wonder, should I allow them to write stories during writing workshop about these popular media themes? You know, shouldn't they be more creative? Shouldn't they come up with their own stories? And what I found was that these themes and toys are just packed. They're just dense with story and literacy potential.
Mm-hmm.
And children would pick up on that. And it seemed to be something that they would play in one time. You know, at one time they would dance the dolls across the tabletop and enact a story. That dancing doll would show up then later in a storyboard that they created.
Uh-huh.
It would change again in the play that they might do with other children in the classroom. So, you know, it just kind of held the meaning constant for them from one space to the next.
And certainly at the adolescent level, even there's a very popular website called fanfiction.net where even adolescents take their own version and rewrite, whether it's Harry Potter or anything else. It's a very popular way to be expressive in your writing.
Sure. You know, I think innovation on a text is just a classic way that authors, you know, develop a storyline and a plot.
Yeah. So now that you've done this rich set of research, what would you tell a group of teachers? What, now that you know what you know, what advice would you give?
Well, first I would say to them that just make use of all the cultural resources that children bring to school. Be aware that they have these rich and diverse literacy repertoires that they can bring to their writing. And then I would also say that you should invite or just at least allow children to bring these popular media toys into the classroom.
Hmm.
That it's a way of enriching the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's not just one way that children are learning about these things. You know, often cultural study theorists will say these toys have particular stereotypes and they're perpetuating gender stereotypes. But what I found was that children have responses to that and ways to revise that. And so if we say, we're going to keep these toys outside and outside of the reach of the classroom, then we've also taken ourselves out of that conversation. Not giving children that space to explore and to talk back to that text.
And it also makes sense that you build from what children know to the unknown, and you build on the stories they're interested in and let them make those versions of their own, of that story for themselves. So what does that mean for principals and policymakers, people who are funding these efforts? Are we, you know, again, I guess sort of back to the, well, are they just playing at school? Isn't their job to do well on the test? Or what would you tell administrators?
The principals, I would say, give teachers the resources and the permission to be professional decision makers and to produce their own curriculum and have the flexibility to have large blocks of literacy time so children can come back to a text again and again. And this was only possible because the principal gave the teacher in this classroom that kind of flexibility and trust. And for policymakers, I would say, look ahead to the kind of work environment that these students are going out in the 21st century, and are we really serving them well to focus on discrete kinds of just one-time, one-test preparations rather than trying to develop people who can innovate and be creative and, you know, and be fast on their feet in a time of rapidly changing text.
Yeah. And then finally, what would you tell parents then?
For parents, I think that parents sometimes are children's best allies in this. There's a researcher in the United Kingdom, Jackie Marsh, who studies parents' support of children's interests in all of these vast literacies that are on the toy shelves. You know, they supply children's toy boxes with the kinds of popular media toys they see, and they develop and support that. And so I would say continue and value that. It's not necessarily something that you have to be worried about
Yeah, yeah. So it's nice to know you can just continue to play and encourage them to play, and that's good news. What other comments do you have about play and kindergarten children's literacy development? Where's your research going with this next?
Well, next steps, I'm at a very exciting place in Indiana, University in Bloomington, and I have colleagues here. We are working together to really put play and drama central in the classroom as ways that children work out their literacy performances and literacy as a way of doing and being in the world. And I'm also very interested in how these toys, and particularly toys now that are so blurred, the line between a digital web space that has a video game with a toy and a social network where children can hold the toy and create an avatar and play online with people very distant, how all of those different kinds of lines are being so blurred where it's hard to know where in space you really are. You know, are you playing with your teddy bear here, or are you playing with your teddy bear on the screen or wherever? So I'm very interested in pursuing that as well. And we also have many researchers here who are working on that as well.
Sounds very interesting. We look forward to reading this work and additional work. Dr. Karen Walwin from Indiana University, thank you for talking with us today.
Thanks very much for having me.
You can find Dr. Walwin's research in Reading Research Quarterly, Volume 44, Issue 1. Go to our website, voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Walwin. You can also join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes. We invite you to peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, as well as pose questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.